Good morning. I identify as a woman because I am not Pastor Parker. I am Victory Hollyfield filling in for Pastor Parker today. Good morning, everyone. I am so glad that you are tuned in to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. I'm excited to be here. I know Pastor Parker opens up with a scripture, and you know what? I want to do the same thing if that's okay with you guys. Again, my name is Victory Hollyfield. Some of you may remember me from a few years ago. I used to do the music show at night on AFR, and I went by Victory McIntosh. I'm married now. All right, guys. I hope everyone's having a good morning so far and that you are ready to tackle this day that the Lord has blessed you to be a part of. And I hope that you do it as unto the Lord and not unto man. I want to read real briefly Colossians before we get to our guest. We have a special guest today, y'all. She's been on before. She is very special to us all, especially to Pastor Parker, because he birthed this. Well, he didn't birth her, but he upcreated her. But she'll be joining us today. I want to read briefly one of my favorite passages in the Bible. Y'all, I have a lot, but one of my top faves will have to be Colossians chapter 3, y'all. Woo! I'm just going to read a few of the verses. Specifically, verse 3 is my fave, but I'm going to start at verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ. Now, I'm going to try not to get to yelling here because I get excited about the word, Rick. So you may have to cue me down, brother. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Get this, y'all. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Listen, I'm talking to myself here. We can all get so discombobulated with everything that's going on around us. Maybe your spouse is tripping. Maybe your children are tripping. And you may be listening right now and you're like, I don't even use that word, but I feel that word. Exactly. Tripping meaning going chaotic, okay? I'm a millennial. Just bear with me here. Verse 3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Amen. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, let's see what it's there for, y'all. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now, come on, y'all, I'm about to wrap this up. Then we got to get to our show. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Can I just say this? We can't do it by ourselves, y'all. That's why God, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper, a comforter. His name is the Holy Ghost. Some people prefer Holy Spirit. They get freaked out with the word ghost. Look, I'm KJV, Holy Ghost, and he's going to help and lead and guide you. He's the one that's going to help us to remove the anger, the wrath, the malice, the slander, and abusive speech from our mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with his evil practices and have put on the new self, y'all. Come on, we got to put on that armor. He says daily we are to put on the armor of Christ, right? And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. That was Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Father, I am just so grateful for your word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, I was just thinking earlier today, I was like, man, I need to start reading the word out loud more. It's one thing to read it with your mouth closed, but Lord, help me to read it out loud, because then not only is my eyes seeing it, but my ears are hearing it. And boy, does it excite me, because your word is active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, I just thank you for our special guest today. Allow it to be none of me nor her, but all of you flowing through us. May those that are tuning in, Lord, may they be encouraged to speak up for life, to speak up for the unborn, and to be about your business, Father, the kingdom work, which is saving the lives and speaking up for those who cannot speak for themselves, those who are voiceless. Father, I ask you that you would give us all a hunger and thirst for your word like never before. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Quick announcement, guys. AFA's Marriage, Family, and Life Conference 2020. Guys, it's around the corner. This will be our third year having this. I love it. We always have such a phenomenal time. Do not miss this conference. It will help strengthen y'all. I have a cough drop in my mouth. I've been coughing and I'm trying not to cough on air. It's really hard, but it's so if you hear me smacking a little bit, I'm Sorry. Rick's looking at me. Rick's a professional. He's like, she shouldn't have that in her mouth. Don't miss this conference that will help you strengthen your marriage and family as you live faithfully for God in a culture that is hostile to truth. This conference will provide practical training and ministry encouragement for Christians endeavoring to live out their faith in this hostile culture. It is June the 25th through the 27th in Tupelo, Mississippi, the birthplace of Elvis Presley. I say that because some people are like, where's Tupelo? But when they hear Elvis, they're like, okay, down south. Yep, there you go. It's June the 25th through the 27th. Our theme is In Defense of Truth. Speakers include Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Michael Brown, marriage and family expert, Laura Petherbridge, Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Alex McFarlane, our very own Mickey Addison. Well, many of these are our very own, sorry. I'm a little biased. I love my Mickey, y'all. I love my Mickey Addison, Bishop E.W. Jackson. He's a licensed professional counselor. Licensed professional counselor, John Euler, sorry. Students for Life Outreach Coordinator, Elizabeth Parker. The conference features a youth apologetics track for youth ages 4 through 17. So that means bring your babies. Y'all, bring your babies. They are not going to be babysitted. They're going to be dealing with apologetics in their own separate conference. And that's for the ages 4 through 17. Guys, registration and more details are available at marriagefamilylife.net. That is marriagefamilylife.net. You can also go to Airing the Addisons Facebook page. They got information on their page as well. But again, marriagefamilylife.net. There's an early registration fee. If you go to the website now and purchase your tickets, you're going to get a discount. You're welcome. You're welcome in advance. But you have until April 1st to get this early registration fee. All right, guys. Without further ado, the last name that I mentioned, she is last, but she is definitely not least. Elizabeth Parker is joining us today. This is Pastor Joseph Parker's daughter, and I like to consider her as my very own sister. Seriously. Y'all, she works for Students for Life. She is the regional coordinator for Tennessee and Kentucky, and she's the minority outreach coordinator. This sister, she does a lot. She holds many hats, and she's a dear sister in the Lord. She's a daughter. Hey, good morning. Hey, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Oh, that introduction was just amazing and humbling.
Well, you know, I got to introduce you right. I got to introduce you right.
Well, you know, we are fellow sisters in the fight.
Yes,
you know,
we are.
So, yes, indeed. How have you been?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Besides the cough. That's what I was telling everybody. If they hear a cough drop, I have a cough drop in my mouth while doing live radio. But, hey, don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm trying not to cough in everybody's ear. But I'm doing well. How are you? Thank you so much for joining us this early in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing great. I'm so excited for us to take on all the things when it comes to just pro-life ministry. So, yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're talking about pro-life. As you already know, this sister is full of knowledge when it comes to pro-life. I mean, Pastor, if you listen to the show of Our Intercession, Pastor Parker and his wife, Miss Birdie Parker, they're always talking about something about pro-life, and I love it. I love their heart. It was actually your dad, Elizabeth, seriously. It was actually your dad who, back in 2014, I met him through my dad, actually. I can't remember what we were at. But anyway, your dad gave me, he was the one who basically just gave me more of a passion for pro-life. I knew I was pro-life, but I wasn't an activist until I met him. That's what I'm trying
Praise
to get at.
God.
And I know you pretty much grew up in a pro-life movement. So
yes. So absolutely. You already know I did. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And it shows too, your passion for this. So last month was the Sanctity of Human Life Month, and
right.
March for Life went on, and you went. How was this year's March for Life? Was this your first year or?
Maybe about my third. I believe my third or fourth year. I think it's about my third year going, but it's amazing. You know, all the years that I've been have been amazing, but this particular year for the March for Life and for the National Pro-Life Summit was just amazing and monumental because a lot of history was being made, and that was the theme of the National Pro-Life Summit, which is history makers. Ooh. But at the March for Life, you know, of course, we have hundreds of thousands of people that come out every year, but that number, of course, went up this year because the president of the United States, Donald Trump, made history by being the first president of the United States to attend the National March for Life, which has been going on for years.
Wow.
And so that, of course, just brought out even more people in support of the pro-life effort. And then, of course, the National Pro-Life Summit brought together so many pro-life ministries, including Students for Life of America, to just come together under one united front. Okay, like this literally is monumental because we are rallying together, drawing our forces together so that we can put not just an active dent into abolishing abortion, but to hopefully, prayerfully abolish abortion in this decade. So, yeah.
You know, I love your confidence. And I know it's in the Lord.
It's all in God.
I know it is. I know because I know you. And I'll never forget that last time you just made. I never forget. I think it was last year. You and I were talking on the phone. And you said, I really believe that in this lifetime that abortion would be abolished. And when you said that, my little mind, that's why I said I love your confidence in the Lord. My mind was like, I don't know if it's going to be completely abolished. I would love for it to be. But my mind, I was like, I feel like we'll just, you know, continue getting Planned Parenthood businesses shut down, but I just love your confidence. And when I hear your passion and then when I see that the impact that Students for Life is making with other young people, it excites me. And I'm like, okay, I think I can see this. My next question, we're almost running to a break. I talked a lot in the beginning, but at least we have you for the whole show and we can continue on talking. But I want to ask you real quick, because I think there are people who probably think there are, when it comes to the March for Life, there's a lot of older people. And when I say older, more seasoned, you know, maybe 40s and 50s. But you and I, we're millennials. We're young. And we look younger than our age. I just want to put that out there. But are there a number of young people, teenagers, young adults that attend who are becoming on fire for pro-life?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how much time we have before the break, but just briefly, I'll just dive into the fact of, we, even at Students for Life of America, we're made up of pro-life groups that are on middle school, high school, and college, you know, university campuses. And so we encourage all of our pro-life student groups to come out to the March for Life. And they do. They show up and they show out, especially this year. Every year, the numbers are getting greater. And so I'm just super excited that, you know, the stereotype is dying, because this is not just a political issue. This is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democratic issue. This is a God issue that affects everyone. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we are dispelling the myth, you know, and we are showing that Black people do care about this issue.
Say that out loud,
showing
girl.
That it's important, you know. So
yes.
All that to say, God is on the move, and He is changing things even as we speak.
This excites me. We're about to come to a break. I'm gonna cut you off because you just made that last statement you said about Black people too are caring. We're not racist here at American Family Radio. Y'all know that. I happen to be African American as well as my beautiful sister Elizabeth. But I want to hit on the HBCUs. Students for Life has now started its first. Like, I don't want to say club, that's high school. What organization on a...
we call them pro-life group.
Thank you. A pro-life group on an HBCU. When we come back from the break, can we hit on that a little bit? How you guys started
Absolutely.
I definitely want to talk about that because, as many people know, the number one race that sadly has abortions is the Black community. So this was a huge, what would you say? A huge breakthrough?
Absolutely. I mean, when I say it's monumental and history is being made, I'm not over-exaggerating. Literally for 30 years, you know, this is something that the pro-life community has strived to do, and God busted open the door for this opportunity.
Right.
And we're just going to let Him continue to spread like wildfire.
Wonderful. Yeah. Girl, well, we're going to hit on that some more after the break. Guys, we are here. I'm filling in for Pastor Parker. Victory Hollyfield here. Our special guest is Elizabeth Parker. Stay tuned. Much more is to come.
Open every door, search near and far, turn stone. I close my eyes, still I find no rest, no rest for a restless heart. All I've been chasing, putting my faith in, let it fade, let it break into pieces. Just give me Jesus. My plans, this house I built on troubled sand. If I gained the world, it would never be, it could never be enough. Just give me Jesus.
Y'all, that's one of my favorite songs. That is Just Give Me Jesus by Unspoken. Y'all, I'm not going to start singing. I love that song. Man, we need him. We need him in our lives. We need him to help us know how to vote. We need him to help us to know what's the proper kingdom-minded, godly way to think of things. Because I've met so many people who I love dearly. I even have relatives who are so headstrong over a certain party who's for, and I love that Elizabeth said it perfectly. You know, pro-life does not necessarily mean that you're Republican or that you're anti-Democrat or anything like that. Pro-life is you are for standing up for the voices of those who cannot speak for themselves. So happy to have Elizabeth Parker. Before we got really interrupted, thanks, Rick. No, I'm just playing. Yeah, I appreciate Rick. He's our producer. I love him. He's doing his job. I'm talking about the music. We were talking about HBCUs. Could you define what an HBCU is and why it is such a great thing that Students for Life has a pro-life group at HBCU?
Absolutely. And before I do that, do you mind if I just pray? Because I really want to be sure that when people hear about the details of what's going on this campus, that their hearts are open and they truly hear the need for their involvement. Do you mind if I just take a quick
moment
to pray?
Absolutely. Come on, Pastor Parker, number two. Yeah, girl.
All right. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the time we have together to fellowship with myself, as well as my sister Victory, and just you, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
And we just thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you have yet to do. We thank you, dear God, for every listener who will hear everything that is going on in the pro-life movement mm-hmm. today. And I pray, dear God, that you would just use our testimonies mightily for your glory
yes.
and touching the hearts of those that you would have to get involved actively with this ministry. Help everyone to see life the
yes.
way you see it, that life has value from the womb to the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And Heavenly Father, we are called to speak up for the voiceless. And so I thank you for the opportunity to do that today. Help us to humbly continue to do that, surrender to you each and every day as we seek after you and we stay close to you and as we share you with others.
Yes.
In Jesus' name,
In Jesus'
amen.
Name, amen. Girl, you better pray. Come on.
So,
well,
as far
yeah.
as HBCUs go, they stand for, and it's so funny because I didn't realize, because, you know, you and I, of course, we're Black, we're African American, and we hear that term, like, since we're children, so it's nothing to us, but I didn't realize, like, that is not a common term for every race. You know, everyone doesn't know what HBCU stands
right.
for, and so it stands for Historical Black College and Universities. And so I love my white brothers and sisters because one of the campuses that I actually got to go on, it was a Bible study that was being led by two white pastors. They both were married to one another, amazing, mighty warriors for Christ. And they were leading a Bible study on this particular HBCU campus. And so we were talking about why I was there, and they were going to allow me to speak. And so I just thanked them for the opportunity to be on this HBCU campus. And they so just politely and so sweetly asked, what's an HBCU? And we all had an amazing laugh. You know, and so, of course, well, we told them, and the students, you know, of course, they love them. And so they were like, this is a historical Black college and university. So it's a common thing for most people to not know. So don't feel bad if this
I feel like it's more for our white brothers and sisters that may not know. Because to me, I'm like, HBCU, duh, but it's, yeah.
Right. But yeah, so, I mean, it is so important for pro-life groups to actually start on HBCU campuses. Because this is where, it doesn't mean that only Black students can attend these campuses,
right.
But it's where majority Black students, you know, that's the population that are on these campuses. And the reason why historical Black colleges and universities were started was because of just different segregation laws that they had back in the day. And Black people were not afforded the opportunity to equal education opportunities when it came to higher levels of education on the collegiate level. So these colleges and universities were specifically started so that African Americans could have the opportunity to get bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and doctorates where they were not at one point in history afforded that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So they still exist today. They're open to anyone who, you know, of course, wants to attend them. But at the same time, this is where you're finding where the heartbeat of Black culture really is,
right.
You know? And so when we go on these campuses, one thing that I see on my non-HBCU campuses, and that's any, you know, campus that's obviously not an HBCU, there's a foundation for the pro-life movement. People are already aware, whether they are pro-life or pro-choice, they understand that there's like this cultural tug-of-war when it comes to abortion.
Right.
When I go on my HBCU campuses, I find that I am literally laying the groundwork from the ground up, literally.
Wow.
I'm not bringing reiteration. I'm literally bringing revelation because a lot of them don't understand what the pro-life movement is. They don't really know what's going on when it comes to abortion in this country.
Let
and it's not because... Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, Elizabeth. I'm so sorry. I have a quick question. Why do you think that's the case that many Blacks...
And the thing about it is I want to put so much reiteration on the fact that it's not because we don't have smart students at HBCU.
I'm about to say, yeah, they're some of the most geniuses. Yeah.
No, exactly. I went to an HBCU myself.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
with that,
you know, there's so many programs, especially in STEM programs when it comes to science, technology, and mathematics and electronics. Like, a lot of these programs are coming off of our HBCU campuses. So we have some amazing,
right.
Intelligent students here.
And can I just put this out there? It's probably there where people will learn that the White House was built by a Black man. Well, was you know. The layout was. See, you don't hear that in public schools, but keep going, girl.
Exactly. No, I love that historical Black History Fact. History Month.
It is Black History Month. Oh my gosh! See, look at that. Look at that. I forgot that. I remember last week, but yeah, keep going. Sorry.
But yeah, so when it comes to coming on these campuses, what I'm finding is that entities like Planned Parenthood, they pour thousands upon millions of dollars into marketing to literally be sensitized. And it may sound like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No,
yeah.
Like you can track the money and you can see where they have poured money into public school programs, where they have poured money into advertising, especially in the Black community, to desensitize the Black community to what's actually going on that they are targeted. That they are the ones that they are coming after. Even though abortion is legal for everyone, let's be honest, there is a specific reason why it is the majority of Black babies that are dying in abortion clinics.
Yeah.
And it's literally no coincidence.
Margaret Sanger, that's what she wanted.
We're being targeted, yeah.
Right. Right. No, but keep going.
Like,
I'm sorry.
Campuses, no, you're okay. Like, anytime you have a question, feel free to interject. But when I go on these campuses, the HBCU campuses, a lot of times this is not well-known knowledge. And so I go on campus, and I literally, when I have the opportunity to speak, I take them down this historical timeline, this historical path, all the way from slavery to the Jim Crow South to Margaret Sanger, and literally just kind of show the parallels of just what has happened in history and what is actually repeating itself in history. And when it comes to Margaret Sanger, one of the most racist people in not just American history, but world history, she literally created Planned Parenthood to target the black population for annihilation, as well as the poor and disabled population.
Wow.
And so she unfortunately had successfully done that through creating Planned Parenthood. And when I go on these campuses and I tell these students that, most of them have never heard of that history.
Wow.
Or have heard of the stats of how our babies are dying at exponential rates.
If they haven't heard that, what are they hearing? I'm assuming what they're hearing is Planned Parenthood is, you know, they've got these items for free or for a reduced price that's more affordable for the black community. Is that what they're hearing, since they haven't heard that?
That's a great question. Pretty much that is what they're hearing, but more so than hearing, that is what they're seeing. Unfortunately, it has become almost just, well, black culture has become so desensitized to this issue in certain ways, because it was so easy to go on a campus, and some of the members who are part of, you know, the pro-life groups that we're starting, literally it's sister or auntie or mom who's had an abortion, and it is a common thing in their family to where, you know, they don't like it, but it's expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so to think that this is not just something that just doesn't feel right, but it is out of the norm, it really opens their eyes to the fact that this is not just something that, you know, you don't feel good about on the inside. This is something that is contrary to what should be. This is not the norm. And so to awaken them to the fact that, you know, this is what woke really means, right?
Ooh, come on, girl.
Do something about it.
Elizabeth.
So, yeah.
This is what woke really, that's a quote right there, like in your face for all you woke people who got it the wrong way. Yes, that is so true. This is what woke really means. And that is acknowledging that every life is so precious. I know of a young lady who I love dearly. And this young lady, she was pregnant at, for the first time. She's been pregnant 3 times, has 4 kids. One set was twins. The first time she was pregnant, she was 15 or 16, contemplated having an abortion. I remember going to her crying. I was like, please do not do this. We will help you. Don't do this. This is a relative of mine. Thank the good Lord. Now she went. She went. I'm not going to say she went. She went to Planned Parenthood. I'm so grateful that the only reason why they said they couldn't do it was because she was too far along. Now, this was many years ago. Anyway, so a few years later, she got pregnant again. Again, she thought about having an abortion with this child. This time, she didn't tell me. Well, the first time, she never told me. But I would find out, and I would go to her, and I would plead with her, and I would tell her how precious this life is. You're not going to be alone. We're here to help you.
Right.
We're family. Thank the Lord she didn't have an abortion for this one. Now, the third one, she had twins. She was wanting to abort again, just abortion minded. Now, if you speak to her, she will tell you in a heartbeat, and she's a great mom. She loves her children. But my thing in my mind was every last pregnancy, she thought about murdering her babies, who she absolutely adores, y'all. I kid you not, like she's a great mom. My whole point is the third one, she had twins, thought about abortion. So somebody told her, because I wasn't able to get to her this time. Somebody told her, well, how about you put them up for adoption? These were her words, Elizabeth, and you may have heard this. She said, I can't imagine allowing someone else to raise my children. I can't do that. That makes no sense to my mind.
Right.
You would rather.
It makes no logical sense.
Yes.
That is something.
People think like that.
Very prevalent in the black community to where we hear that a lot. A lot of adoption agencies hear that. And that is something that, you know, the black community has grown up with, is you don't allow other races to raise your children.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because when Black people think about adoption, they think that my babies are going to be adopted out to white people.
And which white people do the most adoption?
With anybody adopting any child of any race.
Come on.
Because that is something that, you know, when I do trainings on my campuses with my students and I even talk to adults at churches and different organizations, part of, you know, teaching them about this is how you minister to not just the Black community, but to Black culture, is to be sensitive to the fact that our children, believe it or not, despite the fact that we're the highest abortion, we have the highest abortion rate, our children, especially to Black mothers, like, they literally mean the world to them, yeah. Right?
Yes.
And so we've been taught, because there was a generation of mothers that were like, literally, if they found out, you know, you were pregnant, of Black, you know, mothers, when they found out you were pregnant, it was like, you're not aborting that baby. You're going to bring that baby home. We're going to raise that baby.
Come
we're
on.
Going to take care of that baby, but you're not aborting my grandbaby. And it's almost like a couple of generations down the line, it literally has shifted.
I'm going to have to cut you off, Elizabeth.
Oh, no,
hold your thought. Hold your thought, because we're about to run into a break. Hold that thought, because I want to hit on this some more. And then I want to discuss, when we come back from the break, I would like for you to hit on what are some of the things that you discuss at these historical Black college and universities, and what are some pro-life apologetics that you present to them. We will be right back. This is our intercession with Victory Hollyfield. That's my jam. Hey, can I say that on AFR radio? I just did. That is one of my favorite songs. That is called Everyday Jesus by the one and only Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. Y'all, I was a DJ. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. I love it. So glad to be guest hosting for Pastor Parker on the Hour of Intercession with our special guest, his baby girl, his daughter, Elizabeth Parker. She is the, hold on, I got to get her title right. She works for Students for Life. She's the regional coordinator for Tennessee and Kentucky, and she's the minority outreach coordinator. And I'm thoroughly enjoying our time of discussing pro-life. Last month was Sanctity of Human Life Month. We're discussing how Students for Life is now starting pro-life groups in HBCUs, which which are historically black colleges and universities. I have a quick verse I want to read, guys, because we're talking about pro-life. We're talking about children, these innocent human beings who are in these wombs. Yeah, I mean, I'm not a mom yet. I'm a stepmom, but so I haven't experienced birthing a child. But to the best that I can, guys, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is such a miracle and a gift of its own. You know what I mean? Like a husband and wife. You caught what I said. I know some people do it outside, but God's way is husband and wife. It's the best way. But a husband and wife coming together and somehow or another within that month could possibly fertilize an egg. And that is right there. Conception, life, miracle being formed. Guys, God's word says in Psalms 127, verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Come on, every mama. Listen, every mother, you have had an award. If you've had children or pregnant now, that's a reward from the Lord. Now, I want to say this, because I got to keep in mind, I am a childless stepmom at the moment. I don't have children of my own yet. So maybe you're listening, you're like, well, I don't have that, but I've adopted. Listen, you could be a mother figure. You still got a blessing if the Lord has presented some young people in your life that you can disciple. So I want to bring that, I want to put that out there. I don't forget about you ladies out there. You may not be a mother who birthed children, but you're still a mother figure, okay? Verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. Children are a blessing. And I think that if society as a whole were to realize that children are a blessing from the Lord and not a burden, I think that's another thing that could help with this movement. I don't even want to call it a movement, but this lifestyle of being pro-life, of being for the lives and speaking for the lives of those that can't speak for themselves, because it's a wrong thinking that's what's going on. Am I right, Elizabeth?
Absolutely. I mean, you're hitting the nail on the head. Before the break, we were just kind of talking about the story of your cousin and just some of, you know, her thinking that is prevalent amongst just African-American culture, period, about, you know, with the stereotype of adoption, and then also just how it plays into the pro-life movement. And to just kind of sum that up, unfortunately, there is a stereotype when it comes to adoption in the black community that we ourselves are working hard to dispel, especially when I get a chance to go in and speak to just different pro-life groups as well as other ministries. And the thing about it is when it comes to black culture or just African-Americans, period, you know, we love our children. We do.
Yeah.
But at the same time, time has misconstrued our love and what that should look like. And the thing about it is, if you bring God back into the equation, he is the ultimate picture of what that love looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that love is, I'm going to make the sacrifice to take care of my child, or I'm going to make the sacrifice to lovingly allow someone else to raise the child. But believe it or not, this goes back to Planned Parenthood and just the propaganda and the marketing that they have fed into culture, but especially to black culture, about this is your only option.
Mm.
In order for you to be successful, you know, you cannot be a mom.
Yeah.
And have the success that you crave for a career, or you're going to be another stereotype. You're going to be another statistic. And the thing about it is at the end of the day, they're lies that they're being fed, nothing but pure lies.
Right.
And so what we do is we do our best to go on these campuses and dispel the lies with truth, the truth that you can do this,
right,
that life from the womb to the tomb is important no matter what your race is.
I love how you say that.
But exactly. And so at the end of the day, it's literally about making a choice that, and it's so sad because a lot of these moms and even the guys involved, because let's be honest, it takes two to tango, okay?
Yeah.
So a lot of them don't realize this moment, like this decision that they're making in the moment is a decision that's going to last them a lifetime.
Right.
It doesn't just end on the abortion table. It walks out with them in physical trauma and in mental,
right,
and spiritual trauma.
I've met people who've had it and who still hold that man, and I know it takes the help of the Lord to remove that guilt. But I've met a man, but I've met more women. But I know that there are men out there who have had an abortion, and you know what I mean when I say phrase it that way. But yeah, man, I'm curious to know. I'm sorry, Elizabeth.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm curious to know. What are some of because when I'm talking to you, speaking with you, the thing that pops in my mind, you know, one way to prevent abortion, period, is abstinence. But also changing our view of sex. You know, society has it like it's just such a it's free, it's awesome, and just go for it and do it. But there's so much more to that. But do you guys, with Students for Life, do you also discuss abstinence and How do y'all Absolutely. Tie that in with the pro-life?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, I myself is, of course, you as well as producer Rick, we're all Christians. And so I'm going to just pick on us as Christians for a second.
Right.
There is, it's almost like a myth or a stereotype amongst Christians that no one's out there, you know, everyone's out there, you know, promoting life and, you know, absolutely take care of the baby and do everything we can to support the mother and to support healthy families. But then there's this, I think it's almost a bit of a myth / stereotype that some Christians believe that, well, but why aren't you doing anything on the front end to promote abstinence, to promote don't have sex before marriage?
Right.
And let me just dispel the stereotype / myth that We are out there literally on these campuses with our pro-life groups providing free resources and training to our pro-life group students and teaching them this is how you live this type of lifestyle and how you minister this type of lifestyle to your peers when you're interacting with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach them how to talk about it. We teach them not only how to live it, but how to talk about it in a way that doesn't estrange them from their peers who may not think the way they do. So we have plenty of trainings. We also have, you know, plenty of testimonies of students who have made that choice. But at the end of the day, it is still their choice.
Right.
And so we make it a point to where we're going to be there on the front end to help promote the right choices. But if they do happen to make a choice where the consequence, not the mistake of a baby being born, but the consequence of their choice is a baby being conceived and being born, we're going to be there on that end too.
Man, let me ask, how can people donate or support Students for Life? How can they go about doing that or even connect with you?
Oh, that is so wonderful that you brought that up. So if you want to support what we're doing, I encourage it because if I can just put emphasis on this, everything we do for our students, the resources, the trainings, the going out to campus, because we also minister with our students on campus, all that we provide to them for free.
Wow.
And so in my first, you know, of course, request for support is prayer. Please pray. And then second, if you want to financially support, which we need because, you know, salvation is free, but ministry does cost.
Right.
So with that being said, you can email me directly and I can send you our direct link to where we are a nonprofit organization. And so if you email me at E, as in Elizabeth, but E Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, at students with an S, 4, F-O-R, life.org, E Parker at students 4 life.org, I will gladly send you an email link to where you can just click on that, make a donation. You can see all the different ways and the different things that you can donate to. To our ministry, and we would greatly appreciate it.
Could you also, like, what if someone's listening right now, and I know we've been discussing college, specifically historical Black college and universities, but what if, you had mentioned earlier in the show, middle school and high school, can middle school and high school start a pro-life organization? How can they go about doing that if they're like, I want to start one at my school, but I don't know what to do?
Absolutely. Also, contact me at that email as well.
Okay.
And what I'll do is, if you're in my region, that is our job as regional coordinators. We literally help students on middle school, high school, college, and university campuses even graduate students. We help them start pro-life groups on their campuses. And the beautiful thing about it is we walk with them for the entire lifetime of the group. So
what?
We are there.
I'm not being fake right now. I thought, okay, we're getting you started. The rest is on y'all. So I love that. So y'all are still hands-on. Okay, good.
Exactly. Discipleship and mentoring, we're all about that.
Wonderful. My last question, I think I have enough time to put it in real quick. I think we got about 2 more minutes. Do you all implement God's word? And if, like, how do you do that?
That's a really good question, Jay. And we're actually classified as a secular organization.
Gotcha.
So here's why we are that way. Because I mentioned earlier, when it comes to Planned Parenthood, they do so much when it comes to marketing to make this seem like this is a issue that they're trying to throw their religious beliefs on.
Gotcha.
So we're actually run by Christians. Like our board and our president and our directors and our RCs, they are made up of God-fearing people, and our principles are biblically based. But in order to combat the enemy on this particular battlefield, we are registered as a secular nonprofit organization so that we can answer that lie that, no, this is not just about religion. This is about what's right.
What is the name of the president of Students for Life? What's her name?
Yes, Kristen Hawkins. Kristen Hawkins is an amazing president.
Yes.
Who literally, when she took over, she gave Students for Life just an amazing facelift into just propelling them into the fight for, you know, this century and the fight ahead for the decade.
I heard her do such a phenomenal debate. I can't remember what university she was at, but that sister, and just to hit on how you said why you guys have to register as a secular organization, she didn't bring up scripture, but she was able to give proof of why pro-life is the way to go. That's the way I'm going to phrase it.
Oh, and yeah.
It was just so good. I can't even remember. Oh my goodness, it was so good. So I just appreciate you, Elizabeth. I wish we had more time, girl. This should be a 2-hour show, Rick. You should tell them. Pastor Parker need a 2-hour show. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. Thank you. God bless you.
I have too. Thank you.
And
for
Students
having
for Life,
history.
Elizabeth Parker, y'all. Parker, E-P-A-R-K-E-R, E-Parker at students, the number 4, life.org. Guys, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Hour of Intercession. I have been filling in for Pastor Parker. Victory Hollyfield is my name. Thank y'all so much. And listen, don't forget, add this to your prayer to pray for Students for Life. Pray for people like Elizabeth, who is out there in the front line speaking up for the voiceless and trying to promote other people to be about God's business, because this is God's business. I love you. God bless you. And don't forget to get into God's word every day. Spend time 3 chapters a day. I love how Pastor Parker says that. God bless. Thank you, Rick.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.